Good evening. I hope and pray that we're here with our hearts full of expectations. I do know that this is not Sunday, and so you are coming from a busy day. And today is Friday, I suppose. You would see I normally just been sneaking in. Tomorrow I'll be handing over my daughter into marriage, trying to make sure everything is okay. When I was just coming, I was at church trying to hide in my office. I locked the door, and then somebody was saying, "Pastor, why are you locking the door?" I said, I need some privacy. But anyway, I opened, and we were talking and saying, "Okay, fine." Finally, I've come up with the phrase that I'm not going to give away, I'm going to hand over. And then somebody, why? I said, basically, I'm handing over the baton of love. I've managed this far, and I'm speaking as a father. I'm sure even my wife has had a share to give our daughter the kind of love that is expected from a father. And so there's another kind of love which I cannot give her. And that's what they often say, falling in love. I never fell in love with my daughter. I just had to love her, regardless of whatever. So that kind of love where you fall in love, that's the love that I'll be handing it to somebody to carry with a baton, just like somebody handed over my wife to me. So I'm not giving away. We are to talk about the love of God this evening. We've spent some time looking at the two loves, the love that has to do with the world, and that love God hates. And also there's that love which God loves, which I want to spend some time on, and that is loving the Father. You remember, those of you who were here on Wednesday, I said, John does not say, "He who does not love," I'm sorry, "if anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him." But he uses the love of the Father, because that changes the whole reading into that scripture. But you're not just dealing with this God, for God so loved the world. This is the love of the Father, whom you and I may say, in the triune God, if you believe in the Trinity, the Father who gives life, the Father who protects, the Father who sustains, the Father who oversees, and the Father who has given you and me life. And that's the Father John uses in the context of verse 12 down to verse 14. "I write to you, little children, you've got a Father, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake," referring to Christ Jesus, the Son. "And I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning." And he says, "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." Now, the Father there is a term of endearment. It's a term that brings or creates in your mind a relationship. Other than just looking at God the Creator, we have the Father who recreates and brings about a relationship between himself and those whom he has saved and will save. Now that is the key issue here, why John picks the term Father and not God. This has to do with loving the Father. Like I did mention, well, I don't know whether it was yesterday or the other day, our love for God, the Father, is a responsive love. We respond to his love. And how do we respond to his love? Basically, that's the essence of what I want to talk about this evening. The love which God loves. Now read with me again that passage of scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through to, maybe I can end up to verse 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. What is this love which God loves? I want to give it a name. It is the love of the Father. The love of the Father. Now I know when, as you read it from the English Bible, or you'll be thinking as if it's speaking of the love that is of the Father. No, it's you loving God, not God loving you, but him who has the love of the Father in his soul. One who pursues loving God. That is the person whom God is referring to through the pen of John. He in whom there is the love of the Father. That in his soul, in her soul, God's love simply floods his heart. And this kind of love, which is born out of the love we have already received from God. Now, loving God the Father, like I mentioned on Wednesday, that there's no neutral ground, or you can't have the two. You love the world and you love the Father. You can't. Yes, the world may allow you with that God of the age, the evil one. He may, and many times he does. He simply says, go ahead. And once you have done your religious activities, come back. Because he knows that, like I said yesterday, he's not a creator. He can. He simply manipulates and masquerades and will even assure you this is okay. Because he cannot create. All that he can do basically is to, we are told, steal, kill, and do what? Destroy. That's his agenda. So the love of the Father is a love that stems from one who has had an experience with God the Father. Now I want to bring to attention, and basically what I want to do, I will definitely read a lot of verses this evening, because I want to remain more faithful to what the scriptures say. Listen, loving the world will do a lot of damage to your love, which you have for the Father. And remember what we said, I think it was on Wednesday. Do not love the world and the things in the world. And this is what the love of the things in the world and loving the world will do to you. It will make it impossible for you to love the Father. And it's very clear there, it's saying, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So friends, when we speak of loving the Father, we're speaking of a kind of exclusive love. It's a jealous love. It's a focused love. It's a love that is united. It's a love that you cannot punch any holes into. It's a love that is all. And this is what I'll be showing you. The love which God loves. It's a love that is total. A love that is complete. So having said just that statement, that you, those of us who are Christians and those who aspire to live like Christ, the very moment we start indulging, entertaining, and having the same passion. Remember what I said on Wednesday? The word love used there in the Greek text, it's the same word agape. And I was asking myself, I thought all along, agape was just a love that is restricted to loving God. No, in this context, the secondary understanding, it's the context of the passion, the commitment, the sacrifice that is contained in this love. So when we speak of loving God in this context, it's the passion, the commitment, and the focus that you have in loving God, the Father. And so I want us first to define what it means to love, to have the love of the Father. My dear brothers, sisters, dear friends, I know each time you speak of love, you cannot divorce the whole part of emotion, the romance. Is it just the aspect of being engrossed? That's not what it means. It may be a consequent result, an outcome of what is happening inside you. That this just this bubbling excitement. Simply getting excited and emotional and passing through emotions and feeling good, be it in the singing or even when you're praying or whatever you're doing in the name of God, that is simply an outcome of what is inside your soul. That's not what it means. And you know for sure, if we're to use an illustration of those that are in love, we just get excited and everything is flowing nice. I can imagine how my daughter is feeling right now. That is all coming out of the love, the commitment, the resolve, the focus that one has committed himself to this person, and in this case, to God. So it has very little to do with the feeling, and more to do with your state, your relationship with God, the Father in this context. And according to John, this is what he tells us. And I want us to go, like I said, keep your finger. I tell people you've got five fingers. And those of you who've got iPods, at least it's a thumb or whatever you use. Let's turn to John chapter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. How this love is defined or described in the scriptures. It's not so much of the emotion. more to do with the state of your heart. Listen, in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, this is how John presents to us. How do we know? How are we going to know somebody who loves God? It's an excitement. Those are outcomes. It's not really the state of what it means that you love God. In verse 5, First John chapter 5, yes. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. No, that's not the text. Sorry, I got a wrong text. First John chapter 5, verse. Oh, yes. Why am I reading? I'm at verse 3. Why am I reading verse 5? First John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then he qualifies and says, his commandments are not burdensome. So how do we know those that love God? This is how we know them. Like I said, I'll read quite a number of scriptures. Friends, it has to do first and foremost that you have a relationship with God, and God has revealed to you his word, and you not just believe in God, you obey his commandments. You will see this spread through the scriptures. In fact, I was amazed in the afternoon when I was going through this and reading the scriptures. It says, wait a minute. It has very little to do with the outcome, the excitement, the feeling, the enthusiasm. It has everything to do with the state of your heart and your obedience to God's word, that which he has revealed. Just a few pages in John chapter 15. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, you read, this is how we know those who love God. How? We read in verse 15 of John chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. The same chapter. There we go. He who says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas, not of course Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And then Jesus answered in verse 23, if anyone loves me, this is how we're going to know. He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Friends, like I said, I will read a lot of scriptures and let scripture speak. How do we know that we have the love of the Father? My first and only observation is that you and me will keep. You and me will obey. You and me will love God's word. You and me will move from simply having a head knowledge of what and who God is, but bring it to our hearts and put it into practice, because that's what obedience is all about. This is how we know. Chapter 15 of John, and verse 10. How do we know those who love God? In chapter 15 and verse 10, again John repeats himself. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. And in verse 14 again we read, you are my friends. Or we can put it, you are my lovers. Friends, you are the ones I feel. You are my friends, the ones I love, if you do whatever I command you. Friends, not to preempt some of my application, the fact that you come to church every Sunday, you give your tithes, your offerings, may even be one of those in the worship team. You may even be an elder, a preacher like myself. And you are very faithful in all things that pertain to God. Does not mean you love God. Those are activities that are born out of your relationship in obedience to God. So, when you start seeing a brother or a sister, they're declining in their commitment to the things of God, it's very easy to say, something is wrong in his heart or in our heart. Yes, that could be the first diagnostic, but it's not the end of the diagnosis. Because love of God revolves around you knowing God's word and obeying his commandments. Now, when you speak of obeying his commandments, I'll show you soon what that entails. But for now, it is important to know that if we love the world, we cannot keep God's commandment. Remember what I said yesterday, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these revolve around yourself. Things that are sensual bring excitement to your physical body, your fallen nature, or even the things that will excite your eyes, or the pride of life, things that you have achieved, or things that you maybe providentially God has allowed you to attain, and you make them issues of posterity. You cannot. Because all those things go contrary to the word of God when it comes to obeying God. Now, I want to show you from the scriptures again that you and I, left to ourselves, we cannot keep commandments of God. We can't. Because our nature naturally rejects anything that has to do with good and the good that comes from God. Because our nature is self-centered. But the word of God is very clear that obeying the commandments of God, abiding in the word of God, and subjecting ourselves to the rule of God is a first sign of those that love. And I want to show you the question of how you and I ought to love God. A very important text, and I want to refer to it because we know it, but I'm reading it now from Mark and chapter 12, because one familiar is in Matthew. But in Mark chapter 12, the whole question of loving God. And hear me right, because this has to do with the commandments of God. Another text says the word of God. In Mark chapter 12, it's all a question to do with loving God. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. And this is what we read. We read in verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment? Listen, commandment. Of all. Jesus answered and said, The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel. So I read this one. Hear, all my people. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And all that I'm doing here basically is to show us that when we say you obey his commandments, the question is in singular, which is the first commandment. And then he sums it up all in one commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first. Just like I was shocked, maybe you would as well, to see that God has been very consistent from Old Testament through to the book of Revelation. How do you know those who love God? They obey his commandment. How do you know those who love and serve God passionately? They obey his commandment. What is that commandment? It's this total surrender in response to what God has done. And you give the all of yourself. I'll show you soon, before you think I am one of the great Kasulis, the great men. Even in the context of backsliding and falling and sinning, you still hold on to this commandment to pour your heart, your soul to God. And this is the first, the most important commandment, to love God. Like I confessed, I don't know, it was yesterday or on Wednesday, I stumbled, I fell, and I felt a number of various, and I've fallen, and I've realized how much sometimes I've departed from God. Not in the era of activities. Activities can be very deceptive. Activities are not an indicator whether one loves God. Those are simply an outcome. It is possible, dear brothers and sisters, to be very faithful in doing the things that God has commanded, and yet you don't love him. Let me put it different. Do you know that you can actually obey God without loving God? Amen? Obey without actually loving him. But you cannot love without obeying. Many people do all kinds of things. Just ask yourself, maybe let me simplify it. Just ask yourself, how many times have you done what we often call, which my friend Cholwe came up with this theology, the Chakamonetabuino theology. It won't look nice. There is a funeral, a brother is in the hospital, something has happened, and you simply go there to see or visit somebody who is sick, or attend to a funeral, because the Chakamonetabuino, it won't look nice. Outwardly, you are seen as somebody who is very committed, obedient, present at the needs of the brothers and sisters. When in fact, it's not coming out of love for God. It's not coming out of love for God. it's coming out of Tachaka Manakewe. It won't be nice. Simply because you love the brother, you love the sister, and you want to be a source of comfort and encouragement. But simply because this is what the church program says, you must attend all church-stated meetings. If I don't go there, the elders will visit. It won't just look nice that I didn't appear. You can outwardly obey what God has commanded, but you cannot love God without obeying the commandments. And I want to show you from the scriptures that obeying God is the true mark of genuine love for God. Throughout the scriptures, I was amazed. So loving God is not about, you know, stopping that and doing that. It has everything to do with the state of your heart in terms of obeying and submitting to the word of God. We are meant to obey, but it's not always that we obey. You know, the danger we have as Christians, and then let me just tend to a text. The danger we have as Christians is this. It's very easy to come up with another form of Christianity, which is void of love of God, but it meets what God has commanded. Let me explain what I'm saying. We come to worship like we are this time, gathered together. I want to believe we are here because we love God. I want to believe we worship because we love God. Not that it's a church program. And I want also to say, we may save and do great things. We need to ask ourselves, are we doing it because we love God? Or is it because, anyway, it is required of us as Christians? You take your Bible, you're having a Bible study or a devotion. I want to believe we do that because we love God and we want God to speak to us. And not because somebody said you must have a devotion. In my pastoral oversight visitation, you asked, how is it going in terms of your spiritual life? Oh yeah, we're getting there. In terms of family devotions. And often when those new elders know, when you ask that, the man, and she looks at the wife, then just know you've got the answer. You don't have to go into details. There's nothing happening there. It's like you want to do all these things to meet the requirements. It's not as a result of your love, your commitment, your passion for Yahweh. So friends, we can do all these good things. Nice, wonderful, moving worship. Yes, save God even sacrificially. Yes, even study the word of God. Remember what Paul says. You can even move mountains and pray those angelic tongues. But if you do what? If you do not love God, it's all but nothing. Meaning, it's possible, dear brothers and sisters, to look outward as if we are faithful, we love God, we obey His commandments, and yet inwardly, our relationship, inwardly, our stand in terms of obeying God, we have backslid. This is the mark. Whether you love God, do you obey His commandments? And He sums it up in those two: to love God and to love your neighbor. which is basically a sum total of the 10 commandments. Committed to God. And because you're committed to God, inevitably you also be committed to your brothers and sisters. Let me show you before I, let me quickly show you before I move on, that this is how you know. And I'm bringing in something that is not in the text. This is how you know. But I'm deriving it from the text, and I'll read to you soon from the Old Testament through to the New Testament. This is how you know that you love God. Oh, this is how you know, to use the term of John, that there is the love of God in your soul. This is how you will know. First, it is the desire. Because the word, if we put it in the positive, the lust, these are inordinate desires, inordinate passions. The desire for the things that are not God honoring. This is how you know one in whom the love of God is. There is a desire. And that desire is characterized by a passion, even in times of problems, in times of poverty, in times of prosperity. The desire to honor God is not thwarted by these outside circumstances. That desire to see God honored, to obey the commandments of God. Now, friends, it's true. You see it in the Bible. Some people, when they were passing through problems, and one such good example, Job's wife, says, "Wait a minute, which God? Just insult him and forget about this God. Should we only receive good?" But we equally know from the scriptures, many who were blessed, prosperous, and they departed from God. Friends, it's this desire, unceasing desire to honor God, to obey God in any given circumstance, that when people meet you 10 years, 20 years, they still see the same character. When you reach church, and you all smelling like I don't know, very committed. And then when you drive that nice car, air conditioned, you don't even open the windows, still very committed. When you are passing through times of sickness, times of healthy, the desire to honor and please God is there, and that is to obey his word. Because, you know, friends, all that we get to encourage us as Christians, we get it from the word of God. It's not from circumstances. That desire. I want to ask you this simple question. It's a desire to keep his commandments. And the question I want to ask you, if you say you love God, do you do it for the sake of the program, the activity? It won't look nice if I'm not present, and so forth. Or is it moved or motivated or driven by the desire to honor, to please, and to obey God? Even when it feels not good. How many of us have come to church when you didn't feel like coming? Me, several times I've preached even when I don't feel like preaching. Maybe one of it could be during this week. So my heart is somewhat divided. I'm supposed to be there. Listen, then my daughter will ask, "Dad, did you do a CD and so forth?" You, there's this important. That's the problem with you. You love your work. Wait a minute. At times you do things not because you love God, but because duty demands. That's what is wrong. It must come out of the desire to honor, to love God. Then you do it joyfully. Then you will not complain. Then you will not point fingers, because you are simply obeying God. not just the desire. Maybe let me read the text. 1 John chapter 2, I've got one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. That's just the text there. In verse 2 to 3, 1 John chapter 2, 3 to 6. We read here. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is simply a liar. But whoever keeps his word, whoever keeps his way, verse 5, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. It's one in whom we see the love of God. How? By keeping or obeying the word of God. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as Christ walked, in obedience to his Father. And so the test question here at the point of desire, friend, sister, brother, do you keep God's commandment out of the desire of obeying God, or out of mere necessity? It must be out of that desire to obey God. But secondly, it is also manifested through this term called pleasing God. Now, if you are committed to please God, you will obey his commandment, and you will be the old man out. Everybody will be doing things differently. You say, but this is what God says. It's the commitment to God's word, God's commandment, that will bear or bring forth to birth a desire to please God in all circumstances. And I'm asking myself, Mr. Kawe, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. This is the drive. If you love God, there will be this part of you to please God. I remember, and let me just say this as you're turning to personal scripture. You know, I've been trying to gather up my information concerning my PhD, and I thought, let me do something that really will be a PhD. PhD. Those who are from the university, madam, and others. PhD, you contribute to the knowledge, not just something. I said, I'm going to talk about and look at the Bemba or proverbs and sayings from the Bemba speaking people, how they inform morality. Huh? I said, wait a minute. It's a question of thinking, wait a minute. Am I going to do this simply to please man, or to please God? And one of the things that I discovered as I've been reading and researching is the fact that many times we do things to please man, to please man, to please our brothers and sisters, to please our families. And we don't want to stand against the stride, because thinking everybody will be saying, Emmanuel Christ, are you the only Christian here? Read with me Colossians 1 verse 2. And this is what Colossians tell us. Did I say Colossians chapter 1? What did I say? Chapter 1 verse 10, yes. We are told here, this should be our passion, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord. And my Bible, which is the New King James Version, says, fully, not partially, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Why I touched what I'm trying to research on is this. I'm thinking, if we are to love God, there are practices we do within our culture and our traditions, and we don't question them. Isambo yamfwa. Isambo, to talk about the death of the character who has left us. And you put a lady there, the widow, is it the man? Now explain to us. Speak what? Captain is dead. Tell us how you lived.
You were visiting our home. Even went to the hospital.
Oh, what killed him?
Why'd you go on answering such questions? And in order to please man, you don't want to question.
Actually, we went to the mortuary and we found that our man is not in good state.
What tells you when somebody's dead, you find him in a good state? He's dead. And so you go on asking things. And before long, Christians, born again, who love God, they are not committed to fully please God. Friends, if you love God, you will obey His word. And His word will inform you, as it says, you will be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you'll be able to speak the mind of God. Friends, if you are a Christian and you are in good books with all your family relatives, there's something wrong with you. If you're a Christian and you're in a good books with all your workmates, even those who are non-Christian, you have a problem. If you're fully committed to please God and obey the command of God, you simply say, boss, I can't do this. I can't do this. Why? It's against the values I hold on to. Because I love my God. This is how you will know those in whom there is the love of God. They obey. They put even their lives at risk, pleasing God, fully pleasing God. You can't have it all. Muchalo, you are a superstar. Jakwalesa, you are a superstar. No ways. No ways. And this is why it's hard. But also, I want to quickly move on because I need to read those texts. I don't want to overshoot today. And I'm sure you know the reason. Love for others. The love for others. Now, you know, God cannot simply allow you and me to move on and say, okay, this guy loves me very much. Now, John, it was very clear in John chapter, first John chapter 4, verse 7. Very clear. This is, says, wait a minute, lest you feel like you are the champion of loving me, loving me, loving me. Let's bring a test. Those in whom there is the love of God, John says in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And then it tells and says, it is in this love, not that we loved God, that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Then He concludes, His beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If I had time, I would go on talking about this. Because John, in fact, Jesus spoke and said, no, this is how the world will know that you belong to me. You love one another. Here, John, he said, this is how we shall know those who are born of God and in whom the love of God dwells. They will love. They will love other people. And in this context, they will love the brethren. I wonder. Sometimes some of my friends have called me that I compromise. I mind very little if I know what I'm doing. I wonder how Christians can say they love God
and the love of God is in them, they can't speak to each other. They can't. They can't associate. They call each other names. And not only that, they even committed killing their brother and their sister. And yet God clearly says, this is how I've shown you my love. You know, it's not that you loved me, but I pursued you with my love. And if you are born of me and this love is in you, I want to see the same manifestation to others. There's nothing present greater than expressing the love of God to our brothers and our sisters. And especially the unlovable. You heard what I said? Especially who? They are lovable. They are difficult Christians. They are characters in the kingdom of God. So where is the Holy Spirit? Bad boys and girls in the kingdom, they are bad news. Sometimes when they do certain things, wonder, is he a Christian? Is she a Christian? We are called to love. To love them, because that's the command. One of the commandments is to love even our enemies. Guys, it's very easy to say no in love. I remember I was staying in our Etuka road. Lo and behold, we wake up. The whole sitting room was swept. Chaps have stolen. And the day I reported, and then somebody called me from Kansenshi Police. Are you Mr. Kawe? Yes, come. And identify. Then I identify. Oh, yeah, this is our fan. Oh, it's our team. Yes, so forth. So, yeah, do you have a vehicle as usual? These are almost this character, these people. Do you have a vehicle? Says, we need to go somewhere. Said, but I don't have fuel. No, but if you want your things here to arrest you, let's go. So we went all the way to Masala. And then we found other things there. And then he said, we know the characters who stole your things. They are in the cells. I looked at them. Side matters, these guys are just a survival kit, you know, survival strategy. It's a livelihood strategy, just to. But they are thieves. So we went to court, and because they have stolen from our house, and another captain, we live somewhere near that place. So I was the first one to stand in the dock, and they said, do you know this one? I said, don't know him. They said, okay, then watch out. How can you say he's the one who stole? I didn't know that the guys had paid some other people. Then the other guy was the one who went in. So when we got outside, the lady was shouting, oh, I paid 600,000 then, you know, because there were millions. 600, where's my six, whatever? Why? We paid them. We got in there, guys, what sort of life is this? And then those guys, unfortunately, you know, they were incarcerated for 2 years. My first opinion was, let's just forgive them. These are the police. No, it's a police case. Now you're out of the picture. How do I love such a guy? He comes into my house. He steals. Maybe that's not a heavy thing. How do you love somebody? Honestly. Because your own uncle comes in your home and rapes your daughter. How do you love such a character? How? Love your enemies. It does not mean you condone. Tell them the truth. But do it out of love for God. The fourth observation, and then I'll quickly move on to read a number of texts to show you from Old Testament to New Testament. It's a question of the commandment. Basically, you can write if you want to write. I won't say much. This is how you know that the love of God is in you. You will exhibit this attitude of gratitude in yourself. People who love God are men and women full of thanksgiving. They don't just use the word loosely. It's all by God's grace that we are here where we are. They mean it from their hearts, full of gratitude for God, because God is behind all our success, all our prosperity, all our healthy, and everything we have. And there are men and women who are full of gratitude. These are men and women who love God. But perhaps the question that you're trying to ask me, but Pastor Kabwe, how do we live out this? First, I would say the fact that John chapter 1 verse 15 says, do not love the world, which is a command. How do we live out this? I want to say it is your responsibility to pursue, to work at your heart, to deal with those dark things in your soul, to endeavor to exhibit this heart that pleases God, to endeavor to run towards those that are lovable, and even to endeavor, my brothers and sisters, to fully live a life that does not compromise. It's all drawn to God's word. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility, because this love can grow. This is why the first part of that, it's a command. In fact, that's the only command. Do not love the world. The remaining things are basically arguments and motivations and incentives why you should love God. Or why you should not love, the world. That's the only command. Do not love the world. Why? Then he gives you the reasons. You know, if anyone does not love, there is no love of God in him, then he's still a love of God. Not only that, this world is passing away. Not only that, listen, the last of these things and these things, this is what they will do. It will simply show that there is no love for God or of God in your heart. The main command is not to love God. And if that's the main command, how do you then grow, maintain this love for God? Maybe I have only one reason. It's self-discipline. Self-discipline. Those of you who have been Christians for a long time, you'd agree with me that each time you've slackened in those things that are basic principles and teachings of the scriptures, you see yourself going down. It's self-discipline. A discipline that comes out or is born out of love for God. And I just want to read a text here. You can turn to it from the NIV, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. I just want to show you that this has to do with you engaging, disciplining yourself, that great exercise to continue in the love of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, these are the words spoken to Israel, and God spoke and says, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord God is one. Sounds familiar. The same text Jesus referred to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he says in verse 6, these commandments that I give to you today, notice, they are to be upon your hearts. It's your responsibility to stick, to glue these commandments. And then he goes on in verse 7 and says, impress them. It's your responsibility to pass them to your children. Impress them, pass and communicate them to your children. It's your responsibility, he says, talk about them when you sit at home. Don't talk about them when you sit at home. When you walk along the road, talk about them when you lie down. Talk about them when you wake up. Many a time we have taken this as we are passing on to our children. You can only talk about them. You can only impress all these things when they are on your heart. You have embraced the word, the commandment of God. It's on your heart. You will naturally talk about it. Now, don't show this video or whatever to my daughter. We were discussing something just 2 days ago. Then she gave me something. I said, this is a list of the songs that we're going to be dancing as we enter. And when I looked, I says, all these things, my daughter, are worldly. I can't see anything that is Christian there. She frowned. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's not your fault. You heard what I said? It's not what? It's my fault. Amen? This afternoon I was talking to somebody and I'm having an appointment with him next week. The daughter is 4 years. Since a man. And the father is telling me, says, can I talk to the guy? Can you please explain to me too? The guy didn't give a good answer. And the father says, my daughter, I think the guy, I don't think he's a Christian. We foolish Christian men, listen. 34 years? That's when you're trying to check. That's not the problem of your daughter. It's your problem. What have you been impressing upon their hearts? What have you been impressing? Oh, this is what we've been pressing them. Send them to Chengeno. Send them abroad. Give them good education. That's what you've been impressing upon their hearts. And so when they come back, you are surprised. What has happened? That's not their problem. It's your problem. It's not their problem. And so we need to see that you can only love God to the extent you've come to know God and His Word. It's not just a question that you wear the uniform as Pastor Kabwe. You wait a minute. Friends, I was talking to my son the other day. Why is it that children of pastors, they rebel, or even children of elders and Christians? And I've come to realize we've given them wrong identity. We have not given them space to discover who they are. They are not born again because they are born from a mom and a dad who are Christians. These are sinners. And we must treat them like what? And love them as told you should be saying, the son of a pastor. Is that the way you have a haircut? Son of a pastor? Are they children who are pastors' children? They're not pastors' children. There's only children born from Mr. Kabwe. They're not children who are born from the pastor. It's very clear. This is how you love God. The way of God. Notice your responsibility. He also goes on in verse 8. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorsteps. It is your responsibility, Bamnina. Your responsibility, my brothers and sisters, to do what? To discipline yourself in the line of godliness and loving God. But I want to repeat it again. It doesn't come easily like Ameno Yamukanwa. It doesn't just come easily like in your mouth and you discover. I've never seen a mother. Of course, sometimes they do when maybe the baby takes long. Which comes first, up or lower teeth? No, I'm old. Which one? Huh? Low. Not up. Okay. Yeah. Which one? If you don't have children, don't say lower. Upper or lower? Okay, lower. You see, if it takes long, and if you live in those contexts, they take some things, they start now to do what? Scrub, so that teeth, no matter how you scrub, they will naturally come out. And up to today, I don't understand the power of creation of God. How bones grow out of flesh. They pull your tooth out. It's not connected. They come naturally. Loving God will never come naturally. You must do something. You are born of God. This is how we know those who are born of God. This will come. And it will come as we endeavor to obey God. Now, I conclude in the 5 minutes. Turn with me, and if you have a Bible with you, maybe you might not have a Bible, or it will be too much to write. I just want to show you from the Old Testament to the book of Revelation. This, the connection between obeying the commandments of God and loving God. Inseparable. These two are inseparable. And when John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How do we know those who love the Father? Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. Since I've got them in my text there, may not turn to the scriptures, so I'll be a bit fast. Number one. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. But showing mercy to thousands and to those who love him and keep my commandments. God is saying, I'll show mercy to those who love me and keep my commandments. The picture there, just to help you understand, those who love me are those who are connected to me. Those where there's a relationship with me. But this is how we know there's a relationship. They will keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10. But showing mercy to thousands and to those who love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations. To who? With those who keep covenant. And for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments always. That's a fully pleasing one. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22, in the same passage of scripture. For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. Chapter 19 of Deuteronomy, verse 9. And if you keep all these commandments and do them, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways, then you shall add 3 more cities for yourselves besides this. The list is endless. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways, that you may live and multiply. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. But take careful heed to the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and walk. The two are inseparable. You cannot say, I love God, but you are living in disobedience to the clear commandments of God. There is no love there. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. I said and I prayed in the prayer of Nehemiah, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant of mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. And I was asking myself, this is what I was saying, I got shocked. I said, Lord, you know, have mercy upon me. How many of God's teachings that are clear to me, I simply disobey? we easily condemn people. You're not doing ABCD, you're not doing ABCD. I think the question we should be asking, how is your love for God? Do you love Him? All you need to do is just ask those who are married. You know, and those who are married, maybe 1 to 5 years, 1 to 10. Oh, there is some craziness there. Because they are committed. They love each other. They want to do things that will please their brother or their sister, or is it their wives or their husbands. After some time, you don't even know whose wife and husband it is. Someone is seated there or there. For if they are seated together, because it won't look nice. And you start to wonder. Daniel also prayed the same prayer. You read Luke chapter 6, John chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. You are in the New Testament. John chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you are abiding in my love. And it goes on and on and on until we get into the text where we are. Even 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we are the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. God is very consistent. When He turns around and says, these are the people who love me, then He turns the pages. You are very disobedient. You are simply an actor, an activist. These things are not stemming out of love. Brethren, I want to conclude and I want to ask some questions. But those questions will come in the form of statements. The first is this. Why does God demand that we exhibit or show His love through obeying His word? Would we still obey God without loving Him? The question I'm asking, the things you do in the name of the Lord, are they done out of love for God? Or better put it, would you say, oh Lord, I love you, but I just want to do my own things? It's too much. But you know, Lord, I love you. You know how much I love you. In other words, I'm saying, maybe we have bought into this fanatical understanding of what it means to love God, to be excited, and to do all kinds of good things in the name of God. They're not evil, but they are good, but they're not coming out of love for God. It's not because you love God. Friends, most people obey God outwardly, when in fact, inwardly, they are very disobedient. And in fact, when it comes to activities called church, excellent. You open their hearts and see whether they are committed to what they are committed to. You discover they are disobedient. And this is why the two are inseparable. Loving God and keeping His commandments. This is the highest form of knowing one who loves God. Just see, look, the way it says, whether the brother, the sister is obedient to God. Like I said, I want to conclude. Lest you're thinking, me, Pastor Kawe, Brother Chola, I'm finished. Mr. Engo, is he around? Mr. Engo always teases me, so he comes and whispers to me the other name. I said, okay, maybe, okay, if you're Pilam. Friends, I want to show us that true love, I'm concluding, true love of God has very little to do with outward activity. And you'll be shocked that men and women who love God might not even be very prominent, very active, renowned. There are people who obey God. And they do whatever they do out of obedience for God. King Saul. Two examples I want to give you. King Saul. You know, we know this, that obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Obedience that stems out of love for God is better than sacrifice. And you can actually paint sacrifice in all the good things. God, in the words of Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, a text which you know, but I want to use that text, another text as an application. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected my word, the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you. Friends, we may fall into the temptation of equating the love of God with our Christian service or things we do in the name of the Lord. I, for one, I am reflecting upon my life. And I'm thinking, have I really been successful in the service of God? And this is the answer I'm getting. Success has very little to do with outward performances or outcomes. It has to do with how much you've been obedient to God. How much have you been obedient to God? That's the measure of success. Loving God and doing all kinds of good things without obeying God, it's just a mere activity. But the second application observation is this. You know, you may be in a state of, you know, backslidden in a way. Things are not okay. And you know it. I want to give us a very good example as I conclude. King David loved God. There was love of God in his soul. He sensed it even in his sinful state that I'm missing something here. And you find David praying in Psalm 51. And I just want to read that as an application. You can see where there is the love of God. Even when you are at your lowest state, because you love God, there's the love of God in your soul. This is how you know it. Just read with me just 2-3 verses there, and then you discover this man loved God. You know, I know of Christians who, and in fact, I've been dealing with one brother who was very powerful and strong when he was at the university. He was even a chairperson for the student, whatever, movement there. He fell into sin just before he was about to get married, and he impregnated this lovely young lady. He has failed to come out of that. We need to realize if there is truly a love of God in your soul, this is the kind of heart heart and prayer that should come out of your soul. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitudes of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. There is a love of God. Not only that, my sin is always before me against you, and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. And then in verse 7, you can tell there is a heart that loves God. I have disobeyed my God. Purge me and with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. And not only that, he says that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide, O God, your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. And then he prays that prayer which we should always pray. Create in me, O Lord. Create in me, O Lord. And a clean heart, and renew my spirit. Friends, this is the heart of somebody who has realized that he has disobeyed God. And outwardly, David continued to serve as king, but he knew inwardly he was missing it. He had a misstep. He had misled himself and done so many evil things. There is a sense in the heart of one who loves God when you have departed from God. And we all depart in one way or the other. My prayer and my plea to you, my brother and my sister, is to go back to God in this spirit of asking God. Then we know that there is a love of God in you. But if you start coming up with excuses, am I the first one? These people don't love, and so forth. Then we'll be suspicious that you are doing it for the sake of others. Do it for yourself. God wants to deal with you as an individual. My brother, my sister, do you love God? Is there the love of God in your soul? Mr. Kabwe, do you love this God? And I want to say the answer should be in the affirmative. I love you, God. Even if I know things are hard, but Lord, I love you. May I urge you, my dear brothers and sisters, that this is a subject that is more than just sentimental teaching or experience. The subject that has to do with the state of your heart in terms of obeying God and His word. Let's obey God. Just sacrifices, but to obey God before we are rejected by Him or even rejected by God. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray as we continue to meditate upon this, that you may create within us that delightful force to behold you as Yahweh, but also to love you as our Father. This is our plea. This is our cry. Help us, O God. And each and every one of us know. We know, O God, where we have, in a way, departed. We know the coldness sometimes in ourselves. I love you, God, because you love us. In fact, the most. When we acknowledge our sins, than when we think we are okay. For it is for this cause that you sent your Son. Father, I pray for myself as I pray even for a brother or a sister in here, those who know that their love for God has simply grown cold. The love is to love you in response to what you have done. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.